Every morning, Mary gets up and sneaks over to where Lazarus is sleeping to check he is still breathing. Yep, color in his cheeks, chest rising and falling, like a mother checking on a sleeping child who's had a fever. It hadn't been a dream after all. It's been a pretty dramatic few days. Only a few days before Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, 4 days after he died, the place reeks of death. Martha warns Jesus about it, but the stone is removed anyway. And so in Jesus walks and stands at the entrance of the tomb. And once the stone has been moved away, he cries, "Lazarus, come out!" That's a bold thing to do. Only a person who might have divine power would attempt such a thing, or someone who was mad. And yet, Lazarus does come out. He comes out as someone who has been prepared for death, but has been given new life. It's a powerful story, and news travels fast, like a royal birth or an England win. A good news story, for most anyway, because there were many who had gone with Mary and seen it with their own eyes. It had gone viral. All over the place, people were talking about it. And so some went to the Jewish leaders and told them what they saw. The leaders meet and they discuss the problems that they could see. The Romans would come in and try to wipe them out if they think there is insurrection, let alone resurrection, behind this charismatic man. And so they decide that, in the words of the main man, Caiaphas, it's better for one man to die than for many at the hands of the Romans. And so Jesus and his disciples get out of town to keep a low profile. And they are there for some time, and then they go to visit Bethany, to the home of Lazarus. And so we come to this reading around about 6 days before the Passover festival, 6 days before what we now call Good Friday. It's no accident that he chooses to go and see Lazarus. He's a close friend. And we've already met Mary and Martha before, the two of them so different, one about getting on with it, Martha, and the other about being present, Mary. And here they are, a week or so after, standing at the tomb and watching Lazarus' anointed body walk out to see them. It is Martha who took away the stone. It was Mary who stands back and watches as he walks out, mouth open, in awe, wonder, shock, fear, disbelief, and joy. An event like this leaves its mark. Healing is always extraordinary by its nature. But this is a once in a lifetime. This is like seeing the moon landing, the Berlin Wall coming down, Brexit being resolved, dare I say it. All in one. This is Jesus showing his mastery over life and death. Martha, ever the practical one. Mary, the one who seems to understand that something deeper is going on. And so close after this awesome event, Jesus comes to see them at the house, and they put on a dinner for him. Who knows what was on the menu that night, but I guess it is the best that they have to offer. Some lamb and fish, perhaps, some fresh vegetables, some pita bread, and plenty of wine. And so they sit down to eat and look at Jesus, and the wonder must be at the forefront of their minds. Here is Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, now alive and eating, flesh and blood consuming lamb and vegetables, and drinking the wine that is brought out, the best wine they can afford. Here is Mary and Martha, the ones who were there too, watching Jesus eating with their brother Lazarus. Wine and laughter, but at the same time, reverence and awe. The one who had saved their brother and brought a dead man back to life, the very one who had chosen to come and eat with them, with the disciples in the background. And so while Martha starts to clear the table, to set the world to rights, to organize the party, and to make sure all had had enough, Mary, in a moment of madness, goes and gets the costly perfume, pure nard, a whole pound of it, worth a fortune, reserved perhaps for burials prepared for the dead. And so she takes the perfume, she goes over to Jesus, and she anoints Jesus' feet with it, covers his feet in the stuff. I wonder if Jesus, with all his humanity and humor, also was a little taken aback. This is Mary taking on the role of a servant, the role of a cleaner, prepared to serve, to do the things she felt she was called to do at that moment in time. This was Mary seeing the bigger picture, seeing that extravagant generosity was the only response to a miracle involving her brother Lazarus. And so, she covers his feet with it. But then she does something even more shocking. Even today, she washes his feet with her hair. Here is Mary uncovering her hair and washing Jesus' feet with it. It is undignified. It is scandalous. It is an act of total devotion with no view for the consequences of her actions. What is it about the fragrance that is so evocative? The same perfume that has been used to dress the body of Lazarus is now being used to dress the feet of Jesus. The very same perfume that was used because of death is now being used because of new life. And so the whole house is full of the fragrance of this crazy act of generosity. The whole house is full of Jesus' anointing. The whole house is full of the scent of devotion, of uncompromised adoration and thanksgiving. Mary is seeing what is ahead. Do we today see the need for sacrifice, for extravagant response to God's love and care, even when we haven't seen our brother raised from the dead? Do we live our lives seeking to anoint Jesus with our actions and with our words, with our motivations and our very selves? That is the question that Mary poses to us. But not everyone felt that way. The disciples in the background watch with a mix of fascination and confusion. What does it mean? Judas is in no doubt what it means. It means a lot of money is being wasted. It means that while it could have been sold and given to the disciples' cause, it has been lost. John, the writer, is unsympathetic to Judas. He stole from the kiddie, he suggests. He embezzled from Team Jesus. Jesus just didn't get it. Judas, the most capable of the disciples, it seems, the one who had responsibility for finance, the fixer, the payer, the one good with numbers, we can only guess, but also the one who just didn't get it, who couldn't understand how someone could be totally devoted to Jesus and could recklessly do something like that, who didn't comprehend the resurrection of Lazarus was a sign of things to come. Judas is a picture of conflict. Conflict between the old way and the new way. Between sacrifice and duty. Between his reputation and his desire to be close to the action. Judas was in conflict. More than anything, conflict between controlling his desire and his destiny and allowing God to control his desire and his destiny. And so before we judge him too harshly, have we ever taken back control as God speaks to us, as he reveals his future plans, only to go our own way? Have we ever been the one who seeks to feather our own nest and not God's? Perhaps, perhaps, but there is hope. And so Jesus challenges him. She brought it so that she might have it for the day of my burial. So this is much more than just a simple act of covering Jesus' feet. It is even more of a reminder of what Jesus has done for Lazarus. It is looking forward to what will happen with Jesus. It is looking forward to what is to come on Good Friday and beyond. Mary is the one who sees the bigger picture, and Jesus is the one who makes the picture bigger. Because Jesus' sacrifice will be far more significant than Mary's. It will be far more outrageous than Mary's to die on a cross. Now that's an outrage. That's a reputation destroyer. To be taken and killed as a criminal. Now that's a reckless act of abandon. And Jesus is up for that. To go to the heart of pain and shame in the world, the cross, an execution machine on a rubbish dump outside the city walls. Well, that is a sign of God's love. Addressing the deepest needs of people. That is what it's all about. So, where are we in the story? Which character do we relate to? Are we Martha? Practical? Busy? perhaps needing time to stop and wonder? Are we Mary, looking beyond and seeing what is to come and wanting to give it our all? Are we Judas, in conflict between two worlds, wanting to follow but also wanting to be the master? Or are we like Jesus, receiving the blessing but aware of what lies ahead? There's no right and wrong here, just a spectrum of faith and seeing. From Judah blindly sitting on the fence, torn between two worlds, to Mary giving the most valuable thing she has, seeing what is to come and what has been, to Jesus following his call towards Jerusalem, anointed for the journey. So let's join this meal. Let's think about where we are. Let's let go of our conflicting emotions and see what God has in store for each of us today. Amen.